Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Science of Melanology presented by Dr. Jewel Pookrum. All recorded and printed materials are copyrighted by the Jewel Publications, Inc., a subsidiary of the House of Jewels. Any unauthorized duplication of these materials is strictly prohibited. Our commitment is to connect with those who want to discover and learn the science of life and the science of living. For additional books, MP3, Mayan calendars, Immortal Chat CDs, registration for the Balancing Program, and the Advanced Balancing Workshop, please visit our website, thejewelnetwork.com, or call 602-559-1842. That's thejewelnetwork.com. Or call 602-559-1842. Thank you.
You know, last week we read one of our listeners' letters, and she had a lot of concerns about the past. And so one of the things that's very important and why Brother R.A.'s show is so important is because he brings the wisdom from the past to the present. We don't want to bring, you know, memories, emotions, scars, etc. We want to always be able to look at the past, see what we've learned from it, what's the wisdom, and then bring that forward. And the letter that I read last week addressed the past, and it was trying to put the past in perspective relative to all of the pain, misunderstanding, and resistance to accepting each human being as a divine entity, and how do we go forward from there. So let me just give you a preview of what was said, and then we're going to go into part two of answering this individual's letter. I have one question right now that I hope you will answer for me, or at least give me some clarity on it regarding my thinking. You already picked up on the fact that I have some issues, quote-unquote, regarding the races, particularly pertaining to black and white or Caucasian and Hebrew Israelites. I consider myself a Hebrew Israelite at this point in time, and she goes on to talk about that. But then she says, I have never liked the word, even as a child, of being referred to as a Negro, and I've always considered it to be a pejorative term, much like the word minority. Minority contains the root word minor as in insignificant, and I don't consider my race, as I understand you say that there's no such thing as race, but I don't know how else to express it, to be minor or insignificant. And words mean things just like thoughts are things, and these are both things or terms that the white rulers or Caucasian race have given to us. They are not terms that we choose to call ourselves. White people have always tried to define for us what we are supposed to be or how we are supposed to refer to ourselves, and it changes every 10 years or so. I've never considered or referred to myself as colored, Negro, African-American, or what other names they have given us over the years. If any, I am African who happens to live in America. This is my perception and how I view the subject. It's not my intention to project my views on others. Now, let me just address this first sentence, and I addressed it, but just in summary. First of all, we know that every individual is their own sovereign, that they have the capacity, unless they really exhibit minimal brain capabilities, to make their own decisions and to decide the reality for themselves. It is by choice, and one has to agree to allow other people to decide how you should behave and how you should live. So, therefore, no one can be a ruler over anyone else unless the other members of that group decide that they will withhold their will and allow someone else to dictate their behavior and their lifestyle. So in the letter, she used the term ruling race. There can only be a ruling race unless everyone in that race and every other individual who perceives themselves not to be of that race submits their will. Now, obviously, this has been going on for centuries, and we can look historically and try to determine why these individuals submitted their will to someone else. You know, in some events, it was beneficial, but historically, based on how these individuals have told the story and left their recitals of what transpired, it has not benefited the majority of humanity. And we're still in the process of analyzing the nature of being human and the psychological factors that would cause a fully developed entity, fully capable of experiencing and creating anything that they focus on or place in their mind, to subject themselves to conditions where they have full will and capacity to not partake of the events or to change them. And so it's been very interesting to notice how history has heralded individuals who did accept their full capability to be a sovereign, wholesome being and did change their circumstance as well as the circumstance for many others. So we can talk about this in many other events, politically, socially, economically, etc. Many of them had some handicaps, i.e. Helen Keller. Others did not, other than basically a will to be able to control one's destiny, i.e. Sojourner Truth. So therefore, some of the terms that she has used in answering, or should I say asking the question, indicates definitely that they are also still captive in their own sense of themselves about their freedom and incapacity and their capacity to see themselves as a sovereign person, even though she unknowingly has utilized her own capability to decide how she chooses to refer to herself, and it is not, as she says, Negroid, etc. We can all do this. Obviously, the word minority, when we talk about classifications of people, has to be looked at very carefully. I think it's very interesting, and I've observed this for years, that the melanin recessive individuals are a minority. When we talk about from a numerical perspective, are a minority on the planet Earth. That is to say that if you counted all the individuals who compose this estimated population of humanity on planet Earth to be somewhere around 8 billion people, if you then just classify them by melanin content, that is that they had pheomelanin, which causes skin to be olive brown, yellowish in tint, caramel brown, or reddish in tint, if you included the individuals who are eumelanated, who are brown, dark brown, and literally black or navy blue black, that composes over 75% of the population of all humans on this planet. Amelanated individuals who are known as albinos, and the melanin recessive individuals compose less than 20% of the entire human population. So they're based scientifically on just body phenotype and melanin content. The minority on the planet are those individuals who are melanin recessive or who suffer from the disorder known as albinism, and therefore are minority from their limitation in producing more melanin that would give the skin color more color. It's very simple. So therefore, it's been very interesting to recognize that the group of individuals who refer to individuals with color as minorities, I've never, ever understood what the definition was that they used to define minority. Because if we're talking about it from a numerical perspective, they have melanin-dominant individuals over the planet have always outnumbered melanin-recessive individuals. So there has been a lot of socialization as far as we can see historically relative to the misuse of the English language to define groups of people that really are for sociological, perhaps economic, and even political means, but definitely do not accurately define individuals based on factual numbers as well as biological phenotypic characteristics. It is inaccurate. So the minority groups on this planet, if we're going to talk about from a biological perspective relative to melanin content, would be the individuals who are melanin recessive or amelanated, and that is that they at this moment in time do not produce adequate amounts of tyrosinase. That is the issue. All human beings have the same number of melanocytes. Now, whether the melanocyte can produce melanin depends on the genetic capabilities of a gene to give instructions to the cells to produce an enzyme that utilizes the amino acid tyrosine so that the melanocytes can then, from tyrosine, in the presence of tyrosinase, produce melanin. And this is what we're looking at. So amelanated as well as melanin recessive individuals, if they refer to themselves, and at presently they do, as Caucasian, have the capacity to be completely melanated if the single gene that is responsible for producing tyrosinase was more active, and it is not. So that is the major difference as to why their skin color appears to be translucent or with very little color. It is because of one gene that does not produce tyrosinase. They can eat tyrosine, they do that through their diet, et cetera, but the cell cannot use the tyrosine to allow the melanocyte to produce melanin because the enzyme tyrosinase is not present in adequate amounts. So, therefore, we recognize that there's been some misuse of terminology from the past that scientifically now can be made very, very clear. As you notice, I think it's very important to begin to reseed, S-E-E-D, these terms accurately in our brain by using the terms correctly and refusing, literally, to use terms that have so much political, sociological, and economic attachment or association with them. So, therefore, on the melanology show, as you notice, we refer to individuals based on the amount of melanin that they're able to secrete at any particular time, because we know that the issue is not the melanocyte. The melanocyte is there. It's the capacity to make the particular enzymes needed for the melanocyte to be able to produce melanin. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a genetic expression. That's very important to understand. So, therefore, the terms that have been used in the past obviously have a lot of political, sociological inferences, and subliminally skin color has been overlaid on these terms. Okay, we know for a fact, again, there's only one race on this planet. It is the Negroid, R-O-I-D-N-E-G-R-O-I-D race. All humans come from the same source. All humans are melanated or have the potential to be melanated, but it depends on the activity of certain genes on chromosome number 11 as to whether they can use tyrosine and produce the enzyme tyrosinase to allow the melanocytes that all humans have to produce this very important substance known as melanin. It is a pigment, but it is also a multiple vitamin. It contains B6, B12, B5. It's amazing when you see this polymer. It also is a steroid, okay? It is also a precursor to many other activities. It is very interesting. Yes, it does interact directly with light in that it is biological living light itself. Very, very interesting pigment. So it is the most highly avowed pigment on planet Earth. When we're looking at the red of a rose, when we're looking at the purple in a grape or a eggplant, we are looking at a form of melanin. You're looking at melanin. It's all around you. The yellow and a marigold, these are all pigments. They're all forms of melanin, whether they're in ants, plant, or should I say insect, plant, or in mammals. You're looking at the same pigment. It obviously takes on different characteristics depending on the organism and what their environment, and this is very important. So our inquirer, listener, she goes on to say, what, with all of the knowledge that you have acquired over the many years that you have been studying and seeking higher knowledge from the universe, what is the deal with this Caucasian regarding all the havoc that has wreaked since its debut on this planet, plundering, murdering, raping, hoarding this planet and its inhabitants? Now, I'm just going to take this section by section here. You are listening to the Jewel Network. This is the Melanology Show. I am Dr. Jewel, and you are being hosted by the Jewel Network. And again, tune in to us. We have fabulous shows, and we'll talk about that a little later. Right now, we are talking about and answering the questions from a reader who brings to us and has shared with us a lot of her discomfort around the past events that have happened on this planet surrounding and directly attached to this fabulous pigment known as melanin, this polymer that is very important. And so, therefore, it's very clear that we cannot progress in the 21st century until we actually look at ourselves, look at the history of how we've defined ourselves, and any area of our beingness that has caused us discomfort, pain, limitation, that has literally not been respected, because every aspect of a living being is important and it is regal. Still in all, these attributes that make us so exquisite, we cannot reproduce them, or if so, they do have their limitations. Just branching off a little bit about melanin, this pigment that is so important, not only for hair color, skin color, eye color. These are, unfortunately, the simple, you know, very superficial attributes that this pigment imparts to us, okay? But, of course, that is what most people are able to see, the color of your eyes, the color of your skin or hair. And without having an environment that has nurtured the intellectual growth about the physiology, the biology, the cellular biology of their avatar, of their body, then they have only been able to relate to themselves and to others based on what the eye can see. So with the advent of the microscope and more sophisticated laboratory, investigatory tools, we are now able to know much, much, much more about the body. However, the presentation of this information to the general public has been very laggard and lax, and too often not at all, which is why the Jewel Network has dedicated itself to bringing the science to the public. So just as you turn a radio station on that plays nothing but music, we play nothing but science, whether it's social science, biological science, astrological science, agriculture, meteorology, etc. That is our commitment to you, that you can turn in and find out about the science of your life. And so with that said, our inquirer has made the statements about the fact that it appears that melanin recessive individuals who in the past have labeled themselves as Caucasian and in the past have separated themselves and have defined themselves as a race, which is not true. There is no such thing biologically as a Caucasian race, as an Asian race, as an African race. That is not true. There's only one race, again, that is the human race. Biologically, the species is known as the variant, I should say, is known as the Negroid or ID race. Everybody has melanocytes. However, we're looking at which genes are turned on or turned off or have been accelerated that determines how much melanin you are able to make. We've talked earlier about some of the special characteristics that melanin controls, and we will continue to do that, but we also want to give all of our wonderful listeners an opportunity to heal over all of the misinformation that has been utilized to manipulate your sense of worthiness, your self-esteem, that has also subliminally attacked your economic capabilities, etc., based on a skin color. None of that was actually factual. It was all subliminal manipulation. So, you know, having highly melanated skin has nothing to do with your capacity to be a multi-billionaire, trillionaire, septillionaire, vegetillionaire, if that is what you choose to do. So, of course, we have examples of that. Oprah Winfrey, highly melanin-dominant individual, and in the past, the societies have had very segregative perceptions around genitalia. So being a female was supposed to be a limitation as far as the quality of your life and your capability to excel in your own life, as well as then the color of your skin. So historically, it has been written that for her to have female genitalia and to be highly melanated, that she had done something extremely exceptional by being able to be a very, very wealthy female. Oprah Winfrey is a fabulous example of letting us know that it is not how other people see you that determines the quality of your life. It's how you see yourself. And she obviously concluded that her genitalia and the degree of melanin in her skin was not a deterrent for her to be able to actualize the goals that she had set for herself. And she has exhibited this. And it was very important about the example that she has set because she did not do it in malice. She was not dishonest and disrespectful to the laws of the country that she resided in. That is to say that, you know, she did not rob and rape and pillage anyone to be able to acquire the assets that she has. She did not deceive anyone. She basically utilized her skills and talents, and especially in doing the things that she loved, that she was able to be accountable and to understand the laws of abundance and the laws of nurturing to allow what she was able to receive as an exchange for her energy in the form of currency and multiply that until she was able to get the numbers that she desired to have for herself. I remember an interview that I witnessed, and she talked about the fact that, you know, initially, you know, money was never, ever her issue. She really was in the process of just proving to herself, based on her childhood history, that she was a worthy and magnificent being. And so, therefore, by doing what she loved doing, which was interviewing and talking, she went inward and focused on doing this in a great way. So her goal financially was always just to be able to make $10,000 more every year than the previous year's salary. That's all she wanted to do. But you have to understand, when you understand the order of the universe and how we think, we know for a fact that, you know, if you talk about you want to multiply $1 and you set a timeline in your mind to do that, and you do it with the intent of benefiting all involved, which she was always concerned about, it multiplies itself exponentially. It's almost like the Fibonacci series of numbers, that you can start out with one, but then all of a sudden, you know, it's 1, 2, 6, and it goes on, and nobody understands why it jumps. It multiplies itself so fast, but that's what happens. And based on the Fibonacci series, she was able to exponentially expand her money, not just $10,000 more every year, but it just blossomed incredibly. So we never know how many petals we're going to have on a rose, okay? And when they're nurtured every year, they just triple and quadruple, and we don't know why. That's just kind of like the laws of abundance, that your willingness to just want to see more, you're just given far more than what you ever expected. So it's very important to understand that the misuse of words, the deliberate ignorance of numbers, populations over the land masses on this planet were actually totally ignored, and dictates and descriptions were given by a population of people using repetitive indoctrination. And when I say repetitive indoctrination, that is to be able to have access to resources of information that a person would expose themselves to on a regular basis. So whether that is a textbook in an elementary school, being able to flood the libraries, bookstores with information to be able to project this over the radio or the TV. This information was erroneously projected, and so individuals subliminally began to accept the information that they were being bombarded with. And unfortunately, their unwillingness, not that they couldn't, but their unwillingness to question and to pay attention and to look at what was going on around them caused them to accept this and then begin to also accept the subliminal consequences of this. Like she said, you know, to say that I was a minority meant that I was also insignificant, and I was not willing to accept that. Now, she was someone that had a healthy perception of themselves and refused to basically allow anyone or any group of people to project upon her that she should feel anything other than significant in her own life, and so therefore she did not succumb to this. However, obviously she watched many people in her environment that did. So we recognize here that this information around race has been propaganda. It has not been accurate. The numbers of people who are melanated are far, far greater than the numbers of people who have minimal melanin or what we call melanin recessive, and that is fact, period. That is fact, and that is not going to change. Now, since the 1990s, very subtly in the Wall Street Journal, New Yorker magazine, they have been talking about, especially in the financial news, which I thought was interesting, how the shift in, quote, what they are defining as minorities was changing, and that finally the melanin recessive individual was becoming a minority, and the melanated individuals that they talk about through the description of race, the Hispanics, the Eastern Indians, the African Americans, as they describe them, are going to become majority population on the planet by 2050. Well, you know, I thought that was just amazing because they were always the major population on the planet. But again, if people don't travel, if people don't do their own research and studying, then whatever the local resource of information is in their environment, they tend to want to believe it as true and subliminally accept that. So again, she has been affected by this misinformation that has continuously been projected into the environment. And we're happy to say that the Jewel Network definitely is bringing you the truth and letting you be aware of the fact that none of those statements that had previously been made were actually true. And it is quite enlightening that we've had individuals who lost their lives living through the acceptance of these illusions. And this is why we must all be devoted to looking and researching the information that is given to us and then paying attention just outside of ourselves as to what really the truth is. So this is very, very, very important to understand that we, all of us collectively, melanin recessive as well as melanin dominant individuals, by our unwillingness to search for the truth and never allow ourselves to think ill of ourselves because we may not look like someone else or we may not dress like someone else, is the consequence for not valuing self irregardless of your differences. This is the great lesson that the future is bringing us on this. So whether you're melanin recessive, you're melanin dominant, whether you have pheomelanin or eumelanin, et cetera, you are definitely urged to learn that self-acceptance, however you are, is one of the most important ingredients in maintaining and opening the future potentials for you to have the high-quality life that you desire. As soon as you decide that there's something wrong with you, you have now begun to shut the doors of opportunities, and for that you will suffer. So she goes on here to ask what is going to happen to these individuals in that they have caused so much harm and havoc on the planet. Now, I do want to say this, is that, you know, the melanin recessive individuals are not the only group of people who've caused havoc on the planet. One of the things I think is very interesting is that when we go to Africa and we look at the history of Africans relative to the fact that they are on the African continent and how they have interacted with themselves. And one of the most vivid stories, Shaka Zulu, his history. Gentleman was very, very angry since childhood from, you know, just the breach of agreements from the parents, the mother and the father, that caused this child to really lose the nurturing from a village lifestyle. He literally was raised as an outcast because of the behavior of the mother and father, and therefore was angry about it and retaliated because he was not able to be raised in the standard culture of his continent, and he massively killed individuals. And he was a very strategic warrior, and he was a very invasive murderer. And when I say that, he developed specific techniques to be able to kill people in specific ways. So to piss the brain of humans was one of his specialties. And it was known that when he attacked a village, he literally, you would know that because for miles before you got to the actual village, he would actually have the entire body of the victim hanging from the spear where they actually impaled. So impalement was one of his main techniques for killing. That's where they would spear them intentionally in the medulla, right at the back of the head, where the atlas and the axis of the skull and the vertebra meet. That was one of his known markations of his brutality. And there were no other types of individuals on the planet as far as melanin content goes except all you melanated individuals. So Shaka Zulu killed up tens of thousands, probably millions, of you melanated individuals like himself. So we have a tremendous history here where the issues were not necessarily related to melanin dominance or melanin recessiveness. They were directly related to just individuals having issues with self and projecting that on other people and retaliating against other people because they could not resolve the discomfort within themselves. That's the whole drive behind ever wanting to bring harm to another human being who's you. It's a reflection of you. And so when you want to lash out at them, and to the extent that you would really want to sever the relationship between them as a field of consciousness and their avatar, which is their physical body, because that's what happens when you die or that's what happens when you are murdered, that you as a conscious field of energy now is no longer able to control and direct your avatar, your body. And so, therefore, the uninformed use the simple term that this is death. But we know from an energetic perspective that there can never be such a thing because energy cannot be created or destroyed. It just continuously changes. So this is an abrupt change, one that you obviously created. And this happens in people also who do not understand how to use their thought processes constructively so that they do not image and create these type of events that would bring harm to the avatar. So it may appear in your exposure that the melanin recessive individuals are quite violent. The show just preceded me. Michael Bradley confirms the fact that he knows definitely that in the Caucasus Mountains and the northern hemispheres of this planet that the individuals there who are melanin recessive seem to be extremely aggressive toward each other. They have waged tremendous wars on each other. I think of what has been happening in Chechnya, Govina, and all these different places in the Ukraine and Russia, etc. These were not melanin recessive against melanin dominant individuals. This was melanin recessive against melanin recessiveness. So when we do not really pay attention here and really study the history, we can get distorted viewpoints, and if we're looking only at, again, the most topical, superficial characteristics of who's in conflict, and if they vividly appear to be different, one is you melanated, the other one is melanin recessive, we can then decide that one group who has melanin and one group who does not do particular things. But I think that if you just look just a little deeper, you don't have to really use a telescope here. Okay, you can see this with the naked eye, that this aggression is very common in the human species at this point in time and in the past. And so until each individual makes a conscious decision that they do not need to be aggressive toward anyone else, they do not need to be aggressive toward themselves. Because, as you recognize, we have a serious problem here in the Western world with individuals who are very aggressive toward themselves. We've gone from wanting to keep the body intact and free of marks and scars to now we have a society and an aspect of our society where the more scars you have, the more invasion in the body you have. This is now an art form of beauty. So we have people that have, you know, metal objects pushed through the skin on the face, the tongue, the nose, the ears. I saw somebody with something on their spine just the other day. It's amazing. And these applications of these metal objects on the body like this are not comfortable to pierce. I thought that was interesting. Lips, just all kind of things. Now, this has been done in many cultures, melanin recessive, as well as melanin dominant. However, it appears, though, in Africa, where this was done a lot, the Ubangis, putting discs in their lips and just a lot of other things. That is self-inflicted discomfort, but it was then given a signature as though this was important to have rank and definition in the tribe. We now know that that's really not necessary, but for those individuals and how their brain was hardwired, they believe that. And so now, since they are a extinct people, okay, because this continuation of wanting to inflict these kind of objects into their avatar, et cetera, was also a statement to the avatar that there was something wrong with it and that how it was not good enough. And this is something that we're still going to continuously have to deal with. It is definitely sending a message to the avatar every time we, you know, have to feel we need to cut our hairs off and, you know, trim our nails, et cetera, excessively. We have to really be careful about what are we saying when we do this. It's not as though it couldn't be done, but when the words are used, oh, this is good and that's this is bad and, you know, oh, that's right and this is wrong, now that changes the neurochemistry in the brain, which changes the pH of the blood, and now you begin to disturb the homeostasis of biological cellular function in every cell of the body, which means every tissue is disturbed, every organ is disturbed, because you have given a polarity to an event and to a natural biological event that the body now recognizes that this is what we do, and now you're saying that every time we do this, it's bad. It's not in our best interest. What is the body to do when it's programmed to do this? And especially when the mind does not know how to shut the gene off or shut the gene down so that these biological processes don't continue. Because otherwise, this is just slow, bit-by-bit attack on the avatar itself. So these problems that our listener has elucidated are much, much deeper than the social consequences that most of us accept as how it is or the results. It goes to a deeper extent, and when we talk about nurturing an avatar that has the capacity to exist for thousands and thousands of years, the avatar cannot sustain itself under the continuous criticism and judgment of the owner. It cannot do that, because every time the owner sends messages to the avatar that there's something wrong with it, the avatar basically then alters its function, and not in the best interest of the pre-program capability of being here indefinitely. So therefore, the immortal genes are never turned on, etc. Healing finally is diminished and then eventually doesn't even occur anymore because the avatar has been so attacked by the owner itself. So our listener is saying, okay, here we are. We have these beings who, to me, appear to not have much melanin. They have basically terrorized individuals. They've taken over countries. They've done all kind of things. And it's like, what are we going to do with them? This is literally what she asked me. She says, so if it is true that there is karmic debt for everything that we do, are they going to get what's coming to them? Okay, what does the universe tell you regarding this? Now, the key is very interesting here, because we've now got to really grow our brain, and we've now got to decide that we want to align our brain and our thinking with the universe and universal order so that we can know the answer for ourselves. What happens when a individual who's totally supported by universal laws to exist transgresses someone who looks like them, who's of the same species? So it's no different than, you know, an individual who has family members, a sister. She has red hair. The mother and the father, as well as the brother, have black hair. But now this brother decides that he basically wants to attack the sister on a regular basis. Now he knows for a fact that that sister came from the mother and the father, just like he did. So everybody's coming from the same origin. That means that's really you. That the genes that are active in the sister are not the genes that are active in you. But yet and still, that's still very much your blood kin. So this is actually what's happened on planet Earth. is that we all come from the same source. We all have the same mother and father. But yet and still, because we perceive that because I don't have red hair or because I don't have dark hair, that it gives me liberty to think that I can attack you, even though I know that you're directly related to me. What is the consequence of that kind of thinking? Now, if you take the time to align yourself with the order of the universe, because the order of the universe sees all life forms as valid and important, and they are all sustained at the level needed so that they can exist, because all of them together play a very important role in sustaining and maintaining the harmony of this planet. It's the same for humans, is that all of us play a very strategic, important role on this planet in maintaining harmony for human life, as well as for all the other life forms on this planet. So when we begin to attack those that definitely come from the same genetic composition as ourselves, we now are automatically setting in motion the capacity to be exterminated. Because if we think that someone else who we know is our family member, exactly same parents, comes from us, that they can be deleted or exterminated, then we then have also made an agreement that we can also be exterminated ourselves. This is very important to understand. And so if the brain is so undeveloped that it's now perceiving that, oh, because she has red hair, you know, we can just do it to her what we want to, even though you know this is your full-blood sister, the same rationalization, oh, because they have black skin, or oh, because they have white skin, we can do with them whatever we want to. It is a deliberate choice read by the order of the universe that you are now asking to be exterminated. You are listening to the Melanology Show. I am your host, Dr. Jewel. This is the Fabulous Jewel Network being hosted by Blog Talk Radio. And I want to thank you for tuning in and listening. We've just been dissecting and analyzing a very potent email that was sent to myself in behalf of the Melanology Show, asking for healing and clarity on how do we handle the past and all of the traumatic events that have happened, especially in the Western world, regarding melanin. The labeling of people being Negroid or Caucasian, and the aggressiveness that has been asserted toward groups of people based on their skin color, et cetera, has been very traumatic for all of us on the planet, and yet and still a venue has not been created to allow people to heal over this illusion. This is what the Melanology Show is addressing. It is giving you the scientific data and facts for you to finally be able to heal over all of the illusions and the misinformation that has been fed to the human population for centuries that has almost brought us to the brink of potential extinction. So as I was saying, is that the inability for us to accept the fact that all humans, genetic genome, is 99.9% the same, and that the 0.1% is how we get this incredible variation among ourselves in the face of attitude and the environment. So 0.1% genetic variation in the face of attitude and environment has caused all of this diversification. That is amazing, that just that small percentage of genes in the face of a unique attitude and an environment can cause this type of genetic variation. It's amazing, this variation in phenotypic expression and behavior. But that is what we're dealing with. That is what we're dealing with. And so, therefore, again, to assume that somebody, because they don't have any melanin, it appears, or very little melanin, or because somebody's navy blue black, that they are not of your family, that they're not directly related to you, that they're not from the same original ancestral mother and father, is totally ignorant on your part. First rule is that if you're going to talk about being an intelligent person, you're going to talk about being a person who has the capacity to take action on fact and be able to change when the data changes, then this is what you're going to have to now shift on. Because the foundation to look at a person just because they have skin color, an example was made in the show before me where if a melanin-dominant male is walking down the street in an area that has a large population of melanin-recessive individuals and melanin-recessive females, that the women deciding that they should actually distance themselves from the individual just because of his genitalia and skin color says a lot about how little they use their brain and how little they understand how reality is created. But we have millions of people who do this. Now, for what reason did a melanin recessive female think that a melanin dominant male in her vicinity is going to basically steal her purse? Because I say that if she spends any time looking at the TV set, if she spends any time going to the movies are projecting primarily white males killing, raping, robbing predominantly. When I look at Ocean's 10, 11, and 12, it's the majority melanin recessive males with one or two melanin recessive, melanin dominant individuals who are laying out a massive, intellectually exquisite plan to steal somebody else's resources. A master thief. And they spend years plotting on how to get somebody else's resources. These movies and things are not showing the melanin recessive, melanin dominant males doing this. These are all melanin recessive people doing this, robbing the banks, spying on other people. So if I was an extraterrestrial coming from another planet or star system and I was reviewing all the movies as a historical fact of how these beings on this planet are thinking, I would definitely conclude that it was the melanin recessive males and females that were quite aggressive and that basically did not have much respect for the law. And that is what I found so astounding, that we can go to the movies and pay to see this and accept it as a form of entertainment, that it's okay to steal, it's a movie. Okay, even though they show that supposedly the police come and they get caught or they get killed or whatever, it's still the fact that a society continuously reminds people that this is always an option for how you go about getting things. If a society is really devoted to wanting to ensure that the citizens acquire their desires in a systematic way that benefits all involved, they do not prolifically show methodologies in full living color, vividly displayed, that are against the agreement and the rules of the society. It is totally contradictory. You want me to obey the law, you want me not to do these things, but yet and still, we have hundreds of thousands of these movies out. You put them all on the billboards, all on the TVs, all on the radios for me to go see how I can steal, murder, pillage, you know, embezzle monies or whatever else I want. You don't show me in a systematic way how I can go about obtaining my desires. For example, the Oprah Winfrey story. Nobody's basically taking the example that she used, the mindset, and projecting that into a very descriptive, entertaining movie on how to be able to multiply your money every year until you now become a multi-billionaire. Because there's lots of people who want to become billionaires, and they don't want to basically have to kill, rape, pillage, or plan for 2 years how to invade somebody else's space and take their assets. But we have these individuals who've been able to do this non-violently, non-aggressively, doing what they love, but yet and still we don't have their methodologies pasted all on the billboards and all around us for us to use this methodology. So we as members of a society have to ask ourselves, why are we allowing ourselves to be put in a sling of contradiction of this nature? You tell us on one hand, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, the institution. Otherwise, you know, we have the penal system over here that's going to contain you. Well, who wants to be bothered with that? But we do know for sure that we want what we want, and we know that we should be able to have it. So therefore, why can't I be inundated with examples from all different people who've done this successfully as to how I can get what I want and not have to transgress any of my societal or family agreements? And each and every one of us are responsible for allowing this to happen. We are not going to go into blaming any particular institution, because just by the definition that it is an institution means that there are multiple populations of people that are responsible for sustaining it so that it can stay what it is, an institution. So everyone who is upholding these institutions is also agreeing to project these contradictions. And those of us who pay for these movies and go watch them and whatever else, these TV shows or magazines, et cetera, we are in agreement that this is what we want. And we are in agreement that, you know, I have to be smarter than the institution if I want to implement any of these methodologies that they've already told me were wrong. But they've showed me in full description, step by step, how to be able to carry it out. So we have to recognize that we have a brain that we're not really using well, and that we're making decisions, whether it's to do nothing and let somebody else use our energy and our wherewithal to interact in our environment, that we have to then deal with the consequences, or that we take upon ourselves to do whatever we want to, not recognizing that whatever we do, everyone is affected. So, again, there's no victims. What has happened in the past, everybody, whether they were the recipient of the violence, whether they were the recipient of the incarcerations or the limitations, their thinking definitely played the major role in creating that. Now, I'm sure that many of you are still up in the air and, like, pulling your hair out and wondering, how can I say that? But until each and every person accepts the fact that they are constantly creating their reality, and to pay attention to how they're thinking, and to begin to only think about what they really want to experience, knowing that they're going to take full responsibility for it, therefore, whatever someone else is then thinking and creating, because you're basically passively or not at all aware of how to use your brain, you're going to have to deal with the consequences of that. A person who really loves themselves, my dear listener, will never subject themselves to be enslaved by anything or anyone. They will never do that. They will use their brain in such a way that they will change that reality. And we have proof of that, because all of these individuals who were taken from their homeland in a very traumatic manner, that event of actually being removed from their homeland started in their minds while they were still in the country that was basically exploited for its human resources. Every individual who was actually kidnapped or placed against what appears to be their will and brought to some other place, they started that whole process in their thinking. Now, whether it was that they heard about it happening to somebody else and they immediately went into fear, what does fear do? Fear forces you to think about an experience in a way that you continuously feel vulnerable to. And that's one interesting thing about fear, is that when people have fears, they constantly are thinking about them. They constantly think about them. And when they can't handle it anymore because it's become an obsession, then they begin to look around for activities that will drown them out. Drugs, excessive behavior. We have a person's fear of not having enough money. So what do? They work four jobs a day and still having to come home when they get a chance to collapse in the same bed, that now they have to look at the fear that drove them to work four jobs a day, destroying their health. They're so tired they can't even sleep, and the still thought is, oh, my God, I'm working four jobs. Am I still going to have enough? That's the whole fear that's driving them, and they still have to come back to that fear because no one has ever taught them how reality is created and how to be able to control the mental capability of being a life force known as thinking. Nobody's ever told them the anatomy, the physiology, and the quantum physics of what having a mind means when it's projected upon the brain of an avatar. No one's ever taught that, and so people find themselves in the same loop. So it's very important that you've got to become a scientist. If you have a body, which we call an avatar, you've got to become a scientist and understand how this vehicle works. As, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the news here, and I'm like, I think it's so interesting that many of the newscasters, they all go to tanning beds to force the melanin to the extent that it can in the face of having limited tyrosinase to tan themselves to the extent that they damage their skin and everything. And I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. Do they know that they already have melanocytes? Do they know that they do not have to basically fry themselves to have pigment? All they have to do is change their perception of themselves, and they will change. It's just as easy as a person who weighs 350 pounds. And they say, you know, I do not want to weigh 350 pounds anymore. I do not want to basically wear a size 18 dress. So I'm going to change my perception of myself, and I'm going to start doing some different things so that the body can understand that we are changing. And with that, then the body changes. You force me to become more active, and so therefore, you know, I've got to burn up the stored food, which is what fat is. And with that, person changes. It's a totally different attitude. Why don't they think that that same perception works for having melanin, where they don't have to basically destroy their skin? They don't have to put substances on their skin to give them a tan that basically may cause skin problems and skin cancer later, because they have the melanocytes. It's not as though they don't have them. So all they have to do is think differently about themselves, and guess what? They can actually reprogram their DNA and turn on a gene or give new instructions to genes in waiting. They're waiting to be programmed to say, we want you to be able to make enough tyrosinase so that my melanocytes will have enough tyrosine primed by tyrosinase to make melanin. Very simple. That's what they basically do when they talk about losing weight. But it's the lack of understanding of how the avatar works that they do not understand how they can do these things and get these results and change at will without bringing harm to the body. So I am projecting that this aggression over centuries toward each other as sisters and brothers has been because of this frustration of not knowing how to constructively use an avatar with the power to create. The two are not understanding how this works. The entity itself, which is full consciousness, is not understanding how that flows through the brain of an avatar and then actually manifests into reality in this dimension all around them. This is the frustration. It is not the length of the hair, the color of the skin, or the genitalia. And until we decide that we want to develop the brain, understand that melanin is all through it, and understand how to be able to use this brain and utilize the melanin as a superconductor, as literally a conductor of the neural chemistry, the neural hormones, et cetera, in the body so that this avatar can do everything that we envision. This is the key. It's not about lack here at all. And to think that, oh, well, we can't do this, we can't do that, and again, that's a misuse of the avatar, because the avatar is like, I don't understand why I'm getting these kind of neurochemical messages, because I'm programmed to do this. And now you want to stick artificial appendages on me and all kind of stuff when I can grow another leg or arm or new liver, etc. But you won't let me become fully activated. These are the issues that we're looking at here. So slavery has to be self-inflicted. Understand that. Slavery is self-inflicted. Because anybody who definitely agrees that they are not a slave, even though they may be caught in an environment where they don't understand what happened to them, once they get over it, they're like, we're out of here. So we have the Sojourner Truths and all these other people who did whatever they needed to do to become free, and it didn't matter about what the so-called slave master said and wanted to do, because it was out of their control once the individual was very clear, 100% devoted, that this is not a reality for me. And this is examples historically that have happened all the time, but we don't look and examine those examples and begin to understand why were these individuals not subjected to this particular experience. What did they do or what did they not do that caused them to be exempt from this? And the key is, did they urinate differently? No. Defecate differently? No. The master issue is that they thought differently. They used their brain differently, which meant that they interacted with this dimension differently, and they created a different reality. Now, this is very important to understand, and all the tissues of your body are aware of this, and most of the time they are subjected to a lot of discomfort and a lot of pain because you, as the owner of this avatar, have never taken the time to study it and use it. And I used to really think that was really interesting that we could possess things and have no idea about the understanding of where they came from, who thought about it, et cetera, not wanting to really embrace all of the beauty that has come along with what it is we have. So whether, you know, we have people who've gone overboard, if you want to talk about art historians, political historians, currency historians, you know, antique holders or whatever, but everything that we think enough of in our environment, we should always want to know the origin of it, the mind that actually was able to see this and allow us to have this experience and move to the next level. This is the fabulous Melanology Show, such a great, great, great show. And I'm the host, and I just really love having this discussion and sharing all of this research with you, because I tell you, we've all suffered from these illusions and misinformation, and this fabulous show is being hosted by the Jewel Network. So I want to get back very strongly to finally concluding with this letter, and I'm so pleased that our listener opened up their hearts and shared with us the discomfort that they've had to really hold back on, and I'm so happy to be able to enumerate the options available so that they can basically put the past and what has happened to many, many people in its proper perspective. Now, my final statement that I want to make about what happens to other people who do very invasive and destructive things to other people. Well, the answer to that question is, what happens to them is what they think will happen to them. I will say that again. What happens to them is what they think will happen to them. Now, that's a whole teaching in understanding how reality is created as the template from a consciousness that has projected a event or an image that they actually want to experience. So if an individual decides that they want to destroy another person's avatar, they can create that, and if the owner of the avatar has not decreed a different reality for themselves, they may literally have to experience the will of someone else. Now, I'll say that again, is that if an individual envisions that they want to destroy the avatar of someone else, their body, and if the actual owner of the body has not envisioned another reality for themselves, they may be subjected to the desires of the individual who would want to destroy their avatar. Now, after the individual has destroyed someone else's avatar, what happens to them? What happens to them is what they think will happen to them. There are individuals who have destroyed others' avatar and nothing happens to them. It appears. That is, they're never caught, they're never prosecuted, they're never detained or contained in confinement. But one of the things we know for sure is that these individuals die. They die, whether it's from a heart attack or whether, you know, someone else destroys their avatar, et cetera, they do die. Even though they decided that things I do, I won't be incarcerated for it, I won't be, you know, publicly scorned for it, okay, I won't lose my job for it, these are the things that they may think that are not going to happen to them. But we know for a fact that when an individual projects the death of someone else's avatar through their brain, where the neurons of their brain have to chemically translate that vision into neurotransmitters that are then released into the bloodstream and into the cerebrospinal fluid through the nerves of that individual to all the cells of the body, it automatically begins to accelerate the decline and the literally deterioration of their own avatar. Individuals who do those kind of things and see those visions and pictures for other individuals cannot sustain a immortal life. They cannot circumvent the deterioration of their own body because the neurochemistry of just projecting that upon their own neurons sets in an auto-destructive mode in their own body. And, of course, they don't know that. So, therefore, if they think that I won't be caught and I won't be fired and I won't have, you know, public scorn placed upon me, et cetera, that they've gotten away with it. They have not in their own biological nature because that sets up the auto-destruct mode in their own body. So that's the answer to that. So these individuals that would do that, this is what they can look forward to. When they do that to others, they automatically set up an auto-destruct mechanism in their own body, and nobody ever told them that. That is why it's so important to study the nature of the avatar that you have so that you know how it works, which means then what? That, boy, I've got to use this brain properly and find out how I can get what I want and not bring harm to somebody else's avatar, because eventually it's going to harm me just from thinking it. So what does it do? It propels us to begin to use the brain in a more precise and wholesome manner, because we can have what we want. That's not the issue. But it's still the concept, people who believe in lack, that if I have, somebody else is not going to have. That's not true. And there's not examples on this planet of that. So we don't know how many insects and how many lizards and how many whatevers are on the planet. We'd like to think that. When I look at National Geographic, we want to think that, you know, because of all the lizards we may have caught and tagged and, you know, put a monitoring system on, that we can make these extrapolations as to how many there are. We're just fooling ourselves. And every time I see them make these films and have the audacity to say that, I'm like, you don't even know all the things that are even on this planet yet. We're still exploring planet Earth. You haven't been in every crook and cranny. You don't even still know how many people are on the planet. How many undiscovered tribes are still on the planet? Because you haven't ever been able to get on to all these different places. We don't have enough explorers to be able to do this. So we need to stop ego tripping and thinking that we can make these films and we can make these outrageous statements as though we know. We do not. We can know, but we can know, and having to know is through different mechanisms, not the ones that we've used. This is very important to understand. So I will say that again. You have been created to be immortal. You have immortal alleles, which are a pair of genes that sit there that are waiting to now activate themselves once you've reached maturity. But they require high-quality special conditions to unfold. And one of those conditions that are necessary is maintaining a neutral bloodstream. No polarity, no charge on the blood. The blood innately wants to always be neutral. And the master trigger that determines whether the blood is going to remain neutral or not, irregardless of the diet, irregardless of the activity or inactivity, it is the state of consciousness of the individual that controls and directs the avatar, the body. And if that person's mindset and attitude is polarized, everything is good or bad, right or wrong, positive or negative, they can never maintain a neutral bloodstream. So why do you think they have all these inventions now of, oh, we've got an alkaline water machine so you can drink it and keep the blood neutral and alkaline? These foods, this neutralizes that food and this neutralizes this condition. Because it's known that everybody's bloodstream, for the most part, is polarized because of this natural, learned proclivity to judge and qualify everything. So individuals who decide and make judgments about other people based on their genital assignment, their hair color, their skin color, for that they will pay, because the chronic state of acidity or alkalinity in the body, anything that is not neutral in the body, does not allow the immortal genes to turn on, and they eventually will shrivel and die. So if you wonder why all these people walking around here, they live such lavish lifestyles, they can buy $400 caviar cold cream for their skin, and, you know, they eat the best of foods grown and all these different things, but yet and still they shrivel up before your very eyes like a grape bathing in the sun to become a raisin. How can that be? And it is because of the polarized attitudes that they have that keep the quality of the blood charged. That is why. So it doesn't matter if you can, you know, bathe in $400 caviar cold cream, or how alkaline your water is, or how pure your beef is, and, you know, your vegetables are totally grown naturally with no pesticides or fertilizers, etc. That helps. Yes, it does. But it is not the remedy. Nothing overrides a state of consciousness relative to an avatar. And if that state of consciousness is still polarized, drinking the best of pure juices and eating the best of food and using 400 dollar caviar cream on it, it just will decay slower, but it will decay. So we have a lot to learn here from the past, tremendous pearls of wisdom, and we have to make a decision. I just saw the gentleman who owns Virgin Airlines on the TV, and of course, you know, he's one of the main spearheads to taking people to outer space. I think he's already in the process of building ships to be able to go to the space station and beyond, that kind of thing. So his airline is going to be one of the first commercial airlines to do space travel. And I sat there and I looked at him and I was like, I wonder, does he know about a polarized attitude and what it does to the body? Because if he's really serious about wanting to be here for a very long period of time to grow his business so that he can be here for 200, 300, 400 years, he's going to definitely have to learn how to see things as they are and to sustain a bloodstream that is not polarized, which means there's no judgment or criticism. He's going to really have to learn how to focus and stay focused. And does he know that? So with that said, I hope that my listener has been healed and understands that we are all the same family. And her last statements here, she's quite polarized in wondering why melanin recessive individuals are adopting melanin dominant children. And what does that really mean? And what it means is that these individuals appear to have learned the truth about the fact that all humans are themselves and vice versa, and that to adopt a child who needs nurturing and a family would be no different than a sister who's had a child and the sister died, or a brother in their own immediate biological family that's had a child and the brother died. So you're the aunt. The grandparents are not there to take care of the child. Would I not basically adopt my own brother's or sister's child? Well, if I had the money, et cetera, and I found the child to be a pleasing, yes, I would. This is no different, the same situation. It's just that the information was not there to let you know that your biological family is even bigger than you thought. It's worldwide. It's worldwide, your biological family. So understanding that, now we can put all these things in the context. So again, it's just like having a sister with, you know, bright red raspberry hair and everybody else's hair is black in the family. Different consciousness, different intrauterine environment, different genes were turned on, others were turned off, and that is what you see. Different attitude, different environment, turns genes on, turns other genes on. We get a different expression physically in our lives. We get a different reality. And when we can basically be clear-cut and understand this, we're going to be so much more joyous because we will no longer have doubts and insecurities about our future, because we will know that our future is what we see it to be, what we say it is to be, because all we have to do is focus and the quantum field of reality will collapse that for me. So if someone else is not seeing my vision, then whatever they're seeing, that's what's going to be collapsed in the quantum field of reality for them. So the mechanism of creating reality based on quantum mechanics that we now know, we know how reality is created beyond the realm of the photon. And so when individuals are taught this, this gives you so much peace inwardly and so much joy to know that my future is exactly as I see it, my picture. And as long as I hold steadfast to seeing only my picture, that's what I'm going to get, only what's in my picture. So I need to contemplate my future. What do I want? From, you know, the littlest teeny-weeny detail to the huge, big, grand appeal of the whole experience. Take the time and contemplate and create your realities and focus on them. And only on them. And any other thoughts and any other pictures that come across your vision, you see them, you identify them as not being part of your picture, and you immediately go back to your vision without any opinion on what you witnessed. No opinion. I mean, we don't care whether it's right or wrong, whether it's good or bad. We have no opinion on it, because as soon as you give an opinion on it, it now becomes your creation. And now you've stopped creating your picture, and you're now contributing to the event that you gave an opinion upon. Very, very important to understand. So we can witness all kinds of realities that other people are having. And we don't want to spend a lot of time looking at their stuff, because if we're looking at it, then it's flocculating, it's collapsing as part of our reality. And if that's not what you want, you immediately go back to your picture. You can't see it as your picture, you go back to your picture. I envision that my listener now has gotten a whole different perception of what has happened in the past and how she can basically nullify the effects of that past experience in her bloodstream by changing her attitude toward it and aligning her vision with the facts instead of the rhetoric that has been passed around without scientific data and without even confirmed observation. And so in just closing, I'll just tell you a little story. I remember in the 80s they were talking about this population explosion and how everybody needs to really, really look at how many children they're going to have, and everybody gets on birth control because, you know, we're not having enough space and a lot of other things. And I used to have to drive 700 miles from my home to get to my medical school. And on break, it was just amazing that from the time I left the city limits and got to the next largest city, which was somewhere in Iowa, I didn't see any people. There were no people. There was just nothing for as long as I could see except nature. There's just highway, occasionally a gas station with people in it or a restaurant with people in it, but there was no people. And I was like, well, this is really interesting. No space on the planet, too many people all over everywhere. I wonder what glass bottle they were living in, because for 700 miles I can drive and not see any people, very few. So I recognized then, many, many decades ago, that there was information being exposed that obviously other people were just in a tizzy and were not looking around them. They never went to the borders of the city. They never obviously went any place and could see that, you know, that was not true. But there's all kind of land available, tremendous amounts, hundreds and millions of miles of land on this planet that nobody ever touches, no people that we know of. So, again, it's for us to use this brain and to question and go and witness for ourselves what we're being told, especially when information is coming to you to tell you that you should see another human being in a different light of being equal to and as valuable and as precious as yourself. Never accept that as a standard that you're to take, because once you accept that about yourself, because you and all other humans literally are the same, 99.9% the same, you start a deterioration process in yourself. Remember that. Bye, everybody.
This is the Science of Melanology, presented by Dr. Jewel Pookrum. All recorded and printed materials are copyrighted by the Jewel Publications, Inc., a subsidiary of the House of Jewels. Any unauthorized duplication of these materials is strictly prohibited. Our commitment is to connect with those who want to discover and learn the science of life and the science of living. For additional books, MP3, Mayan calendars, Immortal Chat CDs, registration for the Balancing Program, and the Advanced Balancing Workshop, please visit our website, thejewelnetwork.com, or call 602-559-1842. That's thejewelnetwork.com. Or call 602-559-1842. Thank you.